Let your steadfast love come to us, O Lord. Save us as you promised. We will trust your word. Let your steadfast love come to us, O Lord. Save us as you promised. We will trust your word.
Our gospel today comes from the book of Mark, and it's toward the end. It's chapter 13. And for about a chapter and a half, Jesus is telling what's going to happen to the temple. There's words of destruction, about war, about famine and plagues, and much, much upset. So our gospel today, Mark chapter 13, beginning with verse 24.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus said, "In those days, after the suffering, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give up its light, the stars will be falling from heaven, and the power of the heavens will be shaken. Then you will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And he will send the angels out to gather the elect from the four winds, from the end of the earth to the ends of the heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. When its branch becomes tender and brings forth leaves, then you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things, know that he is near at the very gates. Truly, I tell you, this generation will not pass away before all these things have come to pass. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But as for the hour and the day, no one knows, neither the angels in heaven, nor the Son, nor anyone, but only the Father. Therefore, be aware, be alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like a man going on a journey. When he leaves his home, he puts the slaves in charge, each with their work, and he commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Keep awake, because you do not know when the master of the house will come. In the evening, at midnight, when the cock crows, or at dawn. Or else you may be found asleep when the master comes suddenly. I tell you what I tell all. Keep awake." This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. And would like to invite the children to head out with Ms. Georgina out in the comfy chairs. They're going to be hearing a story, "The Little Bit Scary People" by Emily Jenkins. You're moving pretty good on those crutches there, Georgina. All right. Are all the children out? There they go. We have to make sure they're out because... Let's get the door closed. There we go. Because guess what? We all get to play with Play-Doh. So the ushers, acolytes, if you'll hand everybody a thing of Play-Doh. I'm going to get them out, otherwise they might not want to go out. So there's different colors, so if you have a particular color, you can ask for it. We don't have all the colors. But everybody needs a little baggie, and when you get the baggie, you can open it up. Yeah, why don't you pass those out there? Just pass them out to everybody. Oh, this needs to go much quicker. Just give handfuls down and... Yeah. Oh, it's good and soft. Who hasn't gotten their Play-Doh yet? Raise your hand, okay. Oh, Doug's got two buckets over here. Doug, we need some over here. Give Helmut some more. Matt doesn't have one back there. Feel free. You can start playing with it as soon as you get it. All righty. Does everybody have Play-Doh? Oh, no. Yeah? Does anybody not have Play-Doh? That's... Well done. Thank you, acolytes. Thank you, ushers. I think we're all good. I've got some. Yeah. I picked mine beforehand. There we go. Does this take you back to childhood or what? Isn't it great? So I'm sure you've recognized, you may have guessed the tie-in in our first lesson from Isaiah. There are the words, "O God, you are the potter, we are the clay. You have formed us and shaped us." And so this isn't exactly clay, but it is something that you can form and shape as long as it's soft, right? You might get some hard Play-Doh. Is it all good? Yeah, you might want to keep working it and stuff. And feel free to make whatever you want from it. Isaiah talks about this basically representing us and what we're up to in the world. And the ideal is that we're formed and shaped by God through God's Spirit, that God is up to something in our lives, and that if we're open, God guides and directs. But you know, I don't know about you, but sometimes instead of God doing so much directing and guiding and so much and whatever, I tend to want to do my own thing and maybe kind of shut God out. Especially when there's things like, oh, there's somebody going back there. Okay. Especially when there's things like we hear in the Old Testament text and the gospel about wars. There's things out there where that can really distract us that are important. That are wars, rumors of war, there's earthquakes. And what I notice is that quite often, especially as I've lived a little bit, I found that I can't always trust everybody I encounter. I can't trust that their agendas are good, that their motives are honorable. And if given the opportunity, then they, you got my water. All of a sudden, I did get worried about the candle in someplace. But as life goes on, things happen. And I realize that I need to, there's things that I can be, that I'm afraid of, or I have to be, okay, here, I think you're distracting us too much. Here, let's go over there to mommy, okay? There we go. Do you need some, you want to take the water with you? I'm not really planning on drinking it now. So what happens in a world where bad things happen, where there's betrayal and trust, all of a sudden we recognize that being nice and soft sometimes makes it easier to get hurt. And so we want to, if you think about how can you really protect yourself, one of the ways not to protect yourself really is to not be so soft. And so as life goes on, there is a real human tendency to start getting hard. To start getting hard, to put up a shell because you've recognized that people may lie to you, that people may say bad things to you, that people that you trust betray you, that there are people out there that feel like they need to relate to you like an enemy and you need to protect yourself or to fight back. And it's like we start shell up around our softness. Has anybody ever pulled out some Play-Doh that's gotten hard? It's kind of hard to work with, isn't it? But boy, it's tough. And so if you think about, if you want to protect yourself from this world that is scary, from a world that seems out to get you, the thing to do is to start hardening up that outside. You might say putting a good strong wall around it. But then you find that maybe even some people can get through a thin wall. So you start thickening that wall until if you really allow the world to get to you that way and to respond, eventually you get hard all the way on the inside. Now, on one hand, it's a brilliant strategy. Imagine that this thing is solid like a rock. Think about it was perfectly smooth and hard like a pool ball. Just think about how when trouble comes, then you can just roll away. And even if they try to come after you, it's so hard that they can't get to you. That would be kind of be the running away reaction to things that are bad and tough and scary, isn't it? But there's also that, what they call it, fight or flight. If you're that hard, you're also a pretty good weapon. Think about a musket ball or a cannonball. I mean, you can actually fight back. And if you're hard enough, then you will overcome those that come against you. So on one hand, it's obvious why we tend to become hard. Because when we're soft, we can get hurt. On the other hand, the harder we come, harder we become. Certainly, it seems kind of hard to take a pool ball and do this to it. It's hard to shape a pool ball or a rock. It is so hard. It has already become what it's going to become. It can change no more. Remembering the words from Isaiah, we are the potter and you are the clay. Pastor Laura does some throwing of pottery, and I think a few other folks have done that. But one of the things you can't do is if your clay isn't soft and malleable, you can't use it. There's just nothing to work with. And when we come hard like that, God doesn't have much to work with. We've made our choice. And to be clear, the choice we've made is to give in to fear. To give in to fear either so that we have to fight back or that we have to protect ourselves. And we've all done it. I mean, the first time you've loved someone and then they broke up with you, there's a hardening of the heart that wants to happen. When you're betrayed, when people have let you down, the automatic response is, I've got to protect myself or else I've got to go after them. But when we do that, we start getting in the way of what God would do with us. What is the alternative? How do we continue to be soft, to be the kind of clay that people open to change so that God can shape and form us? Well, in the gospel text, after telling about all these things, that these bad things are going to happen, the temple destroyed, wars and famines and rumors of wars and earthquakes, what Jesus said, it's like a master who goes on a journey. And when he leaves home, leaves the house in the charge of the slaves. And he says, with his own work. The word for us today is that the way to keep our hearts and ourselves becoming hard from choosing fear is to be about the work of the master. What is the work of the master? Well, if you read through the Gospels, and we'll be reading through the Gospel of Mark this whole coming year, what does Jesus do? He heals, casts out demons, prays, builds community, forgives, that's a big one, does things, he serves others. He's about doing those things that bring life to others. Very often we capture it in around, we call marks of discipleship: worship, pray, study, give, invite, serve, encourage. Thank you. I was missing one. That is the work of we who consider ourselves and claim ourselves to be disciples of the Master, Christians, people who are serving God. And the word that captures all those things, let's see if I can make that. So we're called to be love. We're called to do acts of love. If you can't tell, this is a heart. A little misshapen. But we're called to be love in the world. To be about those things that incarnate love in the world. As we do that, well, I mean, our work during this Advent season, we are in the season of Advent. Our work is to prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ into the world. And the fancy word for that is incarnation, which simply means enfleshment. It's the Word, it's Jesus, it's God becoming flesh, becoming tangible, becoming real. As we, certainly we celebrate that incarnation that happened 2,000 years ago, but we're also in this Advent journey preparing ourselves to be part of that incarnation in the world. We can talk about the divine incarnation, but it's also the divine love incarnation. Jesus was perfect love walking around the world, encountering everyone, giving them what they needed, seeking to give them, invite them into a life of love, which is real life. When we give in to fear, we get in the way of that. I mean, think about it. When you're afraid, what's not on your mind is how you're going to love someone. It's fighting back or running. When we do that, we instantly become hard. As soon as we can find the means to enter into prayer, to forgive those that have created this hardness, then once again, God begins shaping us and guiding us and forming us so that we are part of what God is up to in the world. And we have to constantly, in the words of the gospel, we have to be awake. We have to be aware. Because we live in a society that has a drumbeat of fear. Be afraid. Be afraid about your finances. Be afraid about your health. Be afraid about nuclear war. Be afraid about the economy. Be afraid, be afraid, be afraid. We have to keep ourselves awake to being children of God who are formed by the God of the universe. Or else fear will enter into our hearts and start calcifying, closing them, making them hard, making our world smaller, and making our love less perfect, smaller, until if we allow the hardening all the way, our world is as big as we are. And that's a very, very small world. Jesus invites us to be about the work, to be about expanding our capacity for love. This Advent season, as we go from dark to light, may we claim the incarnation of God within us, that Holy Spirit that wants to guide and dwell us, that wants to give us the courage and strength to love despite all the reasons not to. To love knowing that there are risks to loving. To love knowing that our loving will not be perfect. To love and to be about that because we want to be part of God's movement in the world. That love may abound, that light may abound, and that life may abound. God is a potter. We are the clay. Be awake. Be alert. Be aware. Don't give in to fear. Choose love so that your life may be full of love. Amen.